Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
We appreciate so much that you've joined us today for this Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. My name is Paul Adams, and Mark Schatz is here with me, and we're ready to study today in James chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. Mark, I was noticing as we are studying through this that we're taking very small sections, and I think that's good because we're finding so many good applications to bring out here. Do you think it's good that we're taking this in small bites?
Yeah, it's good that we see the small bites, Paul, but we also can't lose the big picture of what he's talking about. We looked at James chapter 1. And we saw that a theme there was how that when we obey God and we obey Christ, I mean, that there's that equality. Whether we're rich or whether we're poor, we're equal in Christ when we have the right attitude and spirit to Him. And we're going to see that continue in James chapter 2 and even in the little segment that we're going to take today as we study through James.
I'm in agreement with that. And one of the things that we're noticing is that faith changes us. It changes how we view people. It changes how we respond to God. True faith changes us. And so let's go ahead and take a look there in James chapter 2, and we'll go ahead and read verses 18 through 20.
Verse 18 says, "But someone may well say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar?" And it looks like, Paul, I read too far. A verse or two.
That's all right. We'll go ahead and take the section we're looking at and maybe even expand that just a little bit. As we look here, we see something that I was noticing. And in verse 18, we see there about faith and works. And it seems that faith is something that has to be shown. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so it seems that faith has to not be shown off, not to be grandstanded or displayed for everyone to see, but it does have to have an impact. It has to change who you are. How do you think, as you look at this, that faith changes us, Mark?
Well, faith changes us when we read what God tells us, the truth that God gives. And we look into our lives and we see that our lives aren't what God wants them to be. But if we believe what God says about what truth is and about how we should be, and even about the judgment to come, that faith or that believing what God says will motivate us to change things. It'll motivate us to change our lives, the way we think, the way we act, the way we talk. And we're going to see all of that as we study through James, that faith that you believe what God says will cause you to change, and it'll be a visible change. It'll be these works that can be seen.
That's right. And many people today say, "I believe." But saying, "I believe," is not enough. What must it do?
It must cause us to move. It must cause us to change.
I think that's a good application of that. We see different kinds of faith. And we see here a faith that demons have that's mentioned here. It says that you believe there is one God. You do well. But then he says, even the demons believe, and their response is that they tremble, or I think in one translation it says they shudder. And so as you look at that, you understand that the demons do have a simple belief in God. In fact, I was looking earlier in Mark chapter 3 when Jesus was he was encountering unclean spirits, and it says that they saw him, they fell down before him, and they cried out saying, "You are the Son of God." That's in Mark chapter 3 and around verses 11 and 12. And we see that demons believe Jesus, that they obey when he commands them to go out, but they don't have this kind of saving faith that is submissive and wants to do what God demands of them. What kind of faith do we need to have?
Paul, that reminds me in verse 19 that he compliments him that you believe that God is one. That's a good thing, basically, is what he says. And I think about all the people in the world and in our country. And unless people are just absolute atheists and deny God, if you went up to a man or a woman on the street and you ask him, do you believe in God? Most people would say yes. But that's, I mean, and that's a good thing. But that's not enough. That belief has to cause us to change, to obey God, to be submissive to Him, and let God form us like the potter forms the clay that He talks about. That's the kind of faith, or that's the kind of belief that will save and is very pleasing to God.
That's right. And as we see this, and we look on a little bit further, he talks about that there is faith without works. There are those who say that they believe, but they're unwilling to submit to God. They profess something that they don't live. And our faith has to be a faith that we live. And as we look here, we think about what it means to be dead. A dead body has no usefulness at all. In fact, we bury it in the ground. And he says that your faith without your works, that it's dead. Do you think that means that our faith can be useless?
Yeah, our faith can be useless. I mean, something that's dead, it really has no value as far as it needs to be living. It needs to be active. Now's the time that people plant a lot of plants in their garden. And I've got plants in my garden. And if something should happen where I don't water them or they get a pest or something and they're dead, they're not going to produce any tomatoes or any fruit, and they're going to be useless, and really I'm going to pull them out of my garden and plant something else that's alive and that produces things. So a dead faith is like that. It's a useless faith. It doesn't do us any good, and it doesn't do God any good when we just have a faith, but we don't have works, or we don't have that active faith that causes us to change and be submissive to God.
That's right. I was thinking about those demons again, and the demons, they have the right thought and the right belief. They believe that there's one God, or as we look there, they would even believe in Jesus as they confess Him. But having the right thinking, the right feeling is not enough. We must have the right doing. And that's what he emphasizes here. In fact, he calls there the person who doesn't realize this, he calls him a foolish man. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. If we try to tell ourselves that we can have this belief in God, but we don't have to change our lives, we can have this belief in God and we can recognize Jesus as His Son, but we don't have to obey, then we are foolish in that kind of thinking, because that's just not the way that it is. Did you have thoughts about that, Mark?
Yes, we think about the idea of I just had the question when I read this verse. Are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? People can have faith, but it can be a useless or a worthless faith, a dead faith. And sometimes I just need to ask myself about my faith. How useful is my faith? Is it really alive like it should be? And as we read this section, we're going to find that one of the ways we can answer that question is by looking at our works, the things that are coupled with our faith, the things our faith motivates us to do. That will prove whether our faith is worthwhile or whether it is worthless as we go down through here.
Excellent thought there. And as we look at this, we might each of us ask ourselves that question. I know Mark said he asks himself that. I ask myself that too. What kind of faith do I have? Do I have a faith that moves me to change? And we'd like to ask you that. Do you have a faith that moves you to change? And if you'd like to know more about what God expects of you, we'd love to study with you. If you have questions about some of the things that we teach here, we would love to study with you, because all we're interested in is opening up the Word of God and knowing what the truth is. But then when we know what the truth is, when we believe it, then we do it. Our faith has works that accompany it. If you have any questions, you might give us an email, and we'll be happy to address that either on the air or directly with you. And if you send us an email at truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com, that's truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com, we'll be happy to address any questions you have and to be able to talk together about what the Word of God says. We're so glad that you've joined Mark and I today. We hope you'll join us again next time for a few more minutes of truth.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.